Our first scripture reading for this morning will come from 2 Peter. We'll be reading from the first chapter of 2 Peter, verses 16 through 21, and it is found on page 1062 of your pew Bibles. At this time, let us listen to God's word for us. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," we heard this voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word made more sure. You will do well to pay attention to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by the impulse of man, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Our second scripture reading will come from Matthew's Gospel. We'll be reading from the 17th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, and we'll be reading from verses 1 through 9. So again, let us listen to God's word to us. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is well that we are here. If you wish, I will make 3 booths here. One for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He was still speaking when, lo, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were filled with awe. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus. It's the word of the Lord. Our reading this morning is from Matthew's Gospel. Is the second time that we hear in the Gospel narratives the booming voice of God. The first time you'll remember was at the Jordan River. It was during Jesus' baptism when the Holy Spirit fell upon Jesus and the voice said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." At that time, it was not clear if anyone other than Jesus himself had heard the voice or not. But now Jesus and 3 of his most trusted disciples are on top of a mountain. A holy place, a thin place, as the ancient Celts might have called it, a place where heaven and earth intersect. I was listening to Howard the other day in Sunday school talk about his mountaintop experience in Virginia, climbing Humpback Mountain in Virginia. I've become a little jealous about my own mountain climbing experience. The fact is, I've never really climbed a mountain except for Stone Mountain in Georgia, which really wasn't a mountain at all. It's a huge rock, granite rock that can be seen 20 miles away in Atlanta. It used to be a place where the Ku Klux Klan used to hold their meetings, and they would light a cross, light it atop the mountain at night, and it could be seen all the way into the city of Atlanta. But now it's the center of a theme park, and still they light things on it. On Christmas, they light a huge Christmas tree that can be seen from miles around. But that's my only experience with mountains and mountaintop experiences. But in our text this morning, Jesus is atop a mountain, Jesus and three of his disciples. And there Jesus begins to light up, and his face begins to shine, and his clothes become dazzling white. Moses and Elijah drop in from the heavenly realm. And indeed, just as the visage of Moses was transfigured when he received the law from Mount Sinai, Jesus too is transfigured in radiant glory, so that his face shone like the sun and his clothes were dazzling white. We noted a few weeks ago that in Matthew's gospel, the early life of Jesus often mirrors the life of Moses. But Jesus, of course, is far greater than Moses. Jesus is the Son of God. And so again, on top of the mountain, we hear God's voice reiterating what the voice proclaimed earlier at Jesus' baptism. This is my beloved Son. Only this time, the voice adds, listen to him. God knows, of course, how terribly challenged we human beings are when it comes to listening. We often don't do that very well, in part because listening is hard work. It requires a real degree of engagement with the person who's trying to communicate with us. Often we fail to listen not because we are stubborn or rude, but because we have our own preconceived notions about how the world works and have our own understandings of reality that prevents us sometimes from really hearing and listening to what other people are trying to tell us. Jesus often said that the people of his day had eyes, but they could not see, and ears, but they could not hear. They had their own idea about what a son of God should be doing and what a son of God should be like. At the very least, the son of God was supposed to go to Jerusalem and defeat Israel's enemies and to restore the temple. Jesus would do all of that, but Jesus would do it in the way that didn't follow the templates that the people of his day thought ought to be followed. Jesus' way was not the way of violence, but it was the way of self-giving love. But because people didn't recognize Jesus' way, not many people listened to him. But here, atop the mountain, the voice reminds Peter and James and John to listen to him. We know that listening precludes understanding. You have to listen in order to understand. And one of the things that Matthew's gospel wants us to understand is that glory and cross go together. You cannot have the glory of the kingdom without the suffering and the pain and the humiliation of the cross. Jesus is, as the divine voice proclaims, the beloved Son of God. That's royal messianic language. Jesus is the one who brings the kingdom. He is the one who is inaugurating the kingdom. He's inaugurating the reign of God in the world. But it is a kingdom and a reign that is defined and characterized by the cross. That's what Jesus keeps trying to communicate to his followers, but they will not listen. In the gospel narratives, the story of the transfiguration follows immediately upon the events at Caesarea Philippi, where Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter answers correctly, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." But then Jesus begins to explain what that is going to mean for him. It will mean that he must go to Jerusalem. It will mean that he must suffer. It will mean that he must be put to death, or he will be risen from the dead on the third day. But Peter doesn't want to listen. "Oh no, Lord, that can't be, not for you." Peter wants the glory, but he does not want the cross. And so Jesus rebukes Peter in the strongest possible way. "Get behind me, Satan." You're thinking in human ways and not in divine ways. 6 days later, we are told that Jesus takes Peter and James and John atop the mountain, and there they bear witness to Jesus' glory in all of its radiant and dazzling splendor. Peter is totally taken back aback by the moment. He wants to memorialize the event by erecting three booths, one for Jesus, one for Elijah, one for Moses. And who among us would not be taken aback by such a glorious and dazzling display of God's presence on top the mountain? Yet the Bible reminds us that the true glory of Jesus is on display, not here at the midway point of Matthew's gospel, but the true glory of Jesus takes place at the end of the gospel, atop of another mountain called Golgotha, where Jesus will hang transfigured by the sins of the world, not between Moses and Elijah, but between two brigands, two malefactors. It is there at the cross where the radiant splendor of God's self-giving love is on full display for the sake of the whole world. Glory and cross go together. We read the story of the Transfiguration on this last Sunday before Lent, in part because it reiterates for us who Jesus is. Jesus is the beloved Son of God. Jesus is the light of the world. But we also read this story because it foreshadows for us the resurrection glory of Easter. It reminds us that the long and arduous journey of Lent, where we follow the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross, issues into the glorious vindication of the Lord Jesus Christ in his way of self-giving love. It reminds us that death is not the last word, that suffering is not the last word, that injustice is not the last word, but that the last word belongs to Jesus himself. And we are commanded to listen to him, to hear what he is telling us, and to give his voice priority in our lives. Listening to Jesus is never easy, of course. It requires the full engagement of our Lenten disciplines. It requires prayer and study. The Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have to study to hear what Jesus wants to tell us. But we are called to listen to him. To listen to Jesus is to hear him as he calls us out of the dark places of our lives, those places where we are fearful and anxious, those places where the forces and powers of death have captured our hearts and imaginations. To hear him and to listen to him is to be reminded that in the midst of all that can happen to us, that we belong to him, we belong to Jesus. And because we belong to Jesus, we too are beloved sons and daughters of God, wondrously created by God. It is to be reminded that in our own lives, we too have been transformed by the glorious love of God. Transformation is big business in our society today. Everybody wants to be transformed. Everybody wants to be transfigured. We have home makeovers and all kinds of body makeovers, and people seeing how much weight they can lose, and people getting all kind of makeovers. We're all looking to be made over. But the Bible reminds us that those of us who are in Christ have already been made over. We have been made over and transfigured by the splendorous glory of God's love for each and every one of us. Love transforms and changes. That's another thing that Matthew wants us to understand in our reading this morning. There's an old legend out of Africa about a tribe whose custom it was for men to purchase their wives with livestock. If a woman was especially beautiful, a man might offer her father 5 goats. If she were plain, only 2 goats. There was once a young man who, when the tribe met at the oasis for their annual gathering, set his eye upon one rather ordinary looking maiden. To the astonishment of all of his friends, he went up to her father and bid the princely sum of 10 goats. Surprised and delighted with his unexpected good fortune, the father accepted, and the two were married right away. A year went by, and as the tribe gathered at the oasis once again, the young men laughed and pointed their fingers at their friend, newly arrived from the hills, and asked, "How is your 10-goat bride?" Then at the very moment into their presence walked the most beautiful woman that any of them had ever seen. "Don't you recognize the woman I married?" their friend asked. Truly, they had not recognized her because she had been transfigured. She had changed. What had changed about her was the knowledge that her husband loved her very, very much, loved her enough to pay 10 goats for her. And it was this knowledge that had made her beautiful. To listen to Jesus is to become gloriously transfigured by the radiant love of God manifested at the cross. But that transfiguration doesn't stop with the knowledge that in Christ we are God's beloved. It is manifested in the values that come to dominate our lives. To listen to Jesus is to hear the voice that turns the values of our world upside down. To listen to Jesus is to hear him when he tells us that we can't serve two masters. We can't serve God and money. We'll hate one and we'll love the other. To listen to Jesus is to hear him when he tells us that one day the first will be last and the last will be first. To listen to Jesus is to really hear him when he tells us that we ought to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. To listen to Jesus, to really, really hear him, is to hear him tell us that we ought to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Sometimes I hear people of faith talking, and I'm not quite sure who they've been listening to, but certainly it doesn't appear that they've been listening to Jesus. The most important thing that we should take away from this story of the transfiguration is that to hear Jesus means to listen to him as he bids us to lose our own lives, as he bids us to come and to die. "Whoever would be one of my followers," he says, "let him deny himself and pick up his cross." Try as we might, it is hard for us to listen to Jesus and get away from the cross, because glory and cross go together. Many of us, I suspect, would prefer a nice domesticated faith, one that will allow us to put Jesus in a tent or a boot so that we might be able to do what we want to do without having to listen to him. Or either we want a nice utilitarian faith that we can apply to our lives without having to make any major commitments. We try to figure out how we can get Jesus to listen to us, how we can get Jesus to do what we want him to do, to listen to us, as opposed to us listening to him. But to listen to Jesus is to be called out of ourselves as we follow him along the dusty road to his glory and our glory, because glory and cross go together. Along the way, as we follow Jesus to the cross, a number of wonderful things will take place. He will cast out demons. He will heal the sick. He will feed the hungry. He will comfort the afflicted. And he says to us, and listen to him, he says, "Greater things will we do if we believe in him." If we believe in Jesus and follow Jesus and listen to Jesus, we too will not only do the works that he did, but greater works will we also do. This last Sunday in Epiphany, we are invited to capture a glimpse of Jesus' glory. Not just the radiant splendor of a mountaintop experience, but the radiant splendor of the cross to which we too are called to follow. We are called to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ up to the heightened and wonderful mountaintop experiences where we worship the glory of God. And we are called to follow him down the mountain, to listen to him as he engages those who desperately need to hear the good news of God's love for them. We are called to listen to Jesus, to listen to his love for each and every one of us, and to listen to him as he expresses that love for us, the love of the kingdom of God, to which we are called to follow and to make manifest in our lives and in our communities. Listen to him. Listen to Jesus, because his way is the way that brings abundant life. As we begin the season of Lent this week, as we on Wednesday night will impose the ashes on our foreheads, as we will hear the news that we have our dust and to dust we shall return, let us remember the promises that go with that. Let us remember the promises and hear the promises that, like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we too are beloved sons and daughters of God. Let us take that promise deep down inside of our hearts as we go out to proclaim to the world that Jesus Christ is Lord, that in Jesus Christ the forces and powers of death have been defeated once and for all. Amen. Let us pray. Dear God, you have reminded us that we belong to you, that we are your beloved sons and daughters. You have reminded us that the splendor that you have made manifest in this world is the splendor of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was nailed on the cross for the remission of our sins. We ask, Lord, that you help each and every one of us to become transformed into the likeness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we too go out into the world, as we follow his example, as we pick up our own cross and go out into the world displaying the same self-giving love that was displayed in the cross. Lord, we ask that you help each and every one of us to bear your Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, in everything that we do as we go out into this world and proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ has defeated the forces and powers of death forever. In Jesus' name, we pray here today. Amen.